You're listening to the Pete and Sebastian Show on the Riotcast Network, riotcast.com.
This is the Pete and Sebastian Show with Pete Corielli and Sebastian Maniscalco.
Petey Biscuit, it's Jimmy from Boston. As I'm coming out of Dunkin' Donuts this morning after grabbing my coffee, I overheard these two homeless dudes discussing the weather. And let me just tell you, even the downtrodden speaking on Boston's current climate brought more energy and excitement than you two boys did last show. Holy shit, what a snooze fest. Thank God for DJ Lou and the ultimate show stealer, Sadie. She's adorable, by the way, Pete. Those two turned that NPR mockumentary you two were up to into some grade-A bona fide entertainment. I mean, hopefully you two got a nap before this week's show, you know what I'm saying? Oh, let's find out. Hit the tunes, DJ Lou. Later.
Wow, we are in sync, baby. Pete and Sebastian Show, we owe you one. That's not lost on us, folks. We're ready to roll. What's up, bro? How are you?
We owe you one. What do we owe?
A little time. We did 45 minutes last show. We were a little flat.
Oh, I mean, listen, I don't go into these things hoping we hit an hour, hour and a half. Whatever time it is at the end of this thing, that's just the time, man. I don't even know if we want to get into the text message.
Oh, yeah, we got it. We do have to get into that.
Oh, man, that's just, my mind's everywhere today. That's a lot of stuff bouncing in and out. I've had some interaction with the fans. Sorry, I didn't mean fans. I meant family. I got people coming up and saying they're part of the family.
Like they through the show?
Yeah.
Oh, they are.
They don't even consider themselves fans. It's like a family out there, man. Swelling.
Do we get right into it? Brilliance showed itself over this past week, folks. In a theater on the outskirts of L.A., there was a man who told some jokes, made him laugh like he always does, and then he belted out Michael fucking Jackson, Billie Jean, bro. Blown away by the performance. Blown away by the performance. The dance moves. What I respected was you didn't try to sing it as much as you kind of kept it in your own cadence.
Yeah.
But the dance moves, I was not expecting that. Was that choreographed? How much work and rehearsal was done into that? Or was that all instinct?
I don't know if we covered this on an early show. I mean, I think we covered the fact that I used to impersonate Michael Jackson at parties.
No way. No way. Was this garbage?
Well, I mean, we covered that you're a huge fan and that you had a white glove, but I didn't know you impersonated him at parties.
Well, the whole Michael Jackson thing for me started in, I think, 1981, 82. This is right before Thriller came out. And once it did come out, Billie Jean was my favorite song off the album. And when I was in fifth grade, they had an ice cream social, which is like the talent show. And I did Billie Jean. I dressed up in a leather jacket. I had my father's hat on. It was like a top hat. I had the glove. And
okay.
I did it in the gymnasium. Now, ever since then, what I used to do, if anyone had a party in the neighborhood, they would want me to perform Michael Jackson at the party. So, unbeknownst to the kids that were at the party, everybody would be playing, having their cake, and after the cake, the mother or the father would come out and say, guys, kids, I have a special surprise for you. And in the meantime, I was in the bathroom changing out of my party outfit into the Michael Jackson garb. So then I would come out to about 10 kids sitting around the living room. Michael Jackson would play, and I would dance to Michael Jackson. I've done this about 5 or 6 parties when I was in fifth grade.
And it was, were you getting paid?
No.
You would act good that literally the parents would tell their kids, we got a special treat?
Special treat, yeah.
So, but once you finished fifth grade, has this performance been shut down for 20 years, 25 years?
Yeah, it's been years since I've done Michael Jackson in an organized format like I did this past Tuesday night. So, I think I explained it a couple weeks ago, but those of you that are just tuning in, it's called the Goddamn Comedy Jam. You do comedy for 8 minutes, then you do a 2-minute bit about why you're going to sing the song you're going to sing, and you sing it with a live band. No lyrics, nothing, memorization, the whole thing. So, what I did was I went into rehearsal. You had a rehearsal between 7 and 8. Show starts at 9. I was going to close out the show. There's 4 comedians on the show. So I walk into the rehearsal at 7, and I hear an angelic voice. Something out of... It was beautiful.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking to myself, it's probably a singing group that rented the theater before the comedy thing, so they're probably just finishing up. Turns out, it's one of the comedians who's going to do the show. Her name is Melissa. She is singing Whitney Houston like Whitney Houston came back to life.
Like Whitney Houston before the coke became an issue.
Oh God, yeah. So she's doing Always Love You. And it's beautiful.
From the Bodyguard?
Yeah.
Oh my God. You don't fuck with that song unless you have incredible vocal talent.
Okay, well, I took some video of it and I'll send you. I'm not sure if I'm going to put this up online yet, but I'll send you the video of her doing it, and it's amazing. So
that song is so good. It made me, for the first time in my life, not mind a biracial ending of a romantic movie. When Costner and Whitney hugged on the runway, that song was so good. I'm like, I don't even mind. This isn't even weird. My life has changed ever since. It expanded my fucking mind.
That's how good it is. It breaks down barriers.
Yes.
The song.
Yes.
So I get like an anxiety attack. I'm like, God, this is unbelievable. So I'm up next. Now, I brought a costume. I brought the glove, the jacket, and the hat. Lana ordered it for me off of Amazon. So it all came in. I had white tube socks.
I know in the way you and Lana are rolling right now, I think for our listeners' behalf, we need to know, is it Michael Jackson's actual hat?
Yeah, we bid it on eBay for 23 grand. It's an outfit. It's like a costume in a bag. So the band is there. It's like a 4 or 5-piece band. It's got a violinist, everything. So I come out and I start whipping out the costume. Now,
I just want to ask you, I want to cut off for it. Do you get a hold of them ahead of time and let them know what you're doing so that they know how to do it? Or are they so good right there on the spot, they're like, yeah, we'll bang that out?
They know what I'm doing. They've known for the last 2 weeks. So
okay.
know the song, the whole thing.
Got
so
it.
I get up there. And for those of you that are Jackson fans, if you've ever looked at his live concert, there's like a cannon light that comes down from the ceiling and kind of engulfs him in this... it's all dark and it's just him in this cannon light. So what I wanted, the effect I wanted was a spotlight on me, rest of the room is dark, and then I'm going to throw the hat on, and as soon as I throw the hat on, light pops on, and then the beat, the bass starts with the drummer. By the way, something that you might want to look into when you start doing theaters, and I'm sure you had it at your special. Actually, I know you had it at your special. I don't even know if you knew you had it. But it's called Ambient Haze. Look at your special. There's actually a photo that captures it really well that I saw of your special where it's almost like a fog.
Yeah.
On stage, which gives it a very dramatic look with the lights coming through the fog.
Yeah.
I gotta tell you, it's so dramatic. I wish I had ambient haze just kind of following me around during my everyday errands. It's what an effect, man.
Can you imagine you walk into a bank and that fog follows you? They would literally be looking over going, I'm going to give him a mortgage without even looking at his credit.
Just on the haze alone.
Just on the haze alone, I'm giving him 100G credit.
So I asked them if they have smoke. So they do. They got smoke. They got everything. Everything that you would want your performance to have, they had it. So I do the rehearsal. And the first rehearsal, I flubbed the lines. I'm telling you, I have a brand new respect for musicians out there. Not that I didn't have it prior to this, but to get up there and be able to sing a song from front to back with a band and a lot of parts moving, not only the instruments, but the lighting, just the stage direction, what needs to come off, what needs to come on. I mean, thank God we just do stand-up comedy with just a microphone. Because you flub a line, they keep moving, man. This train don't stop.
Yeah, well, you know, I appreciate the credit you're giving them, but you did nail it when I saw it, so you're like, I got to give it up to musicians. It took me twice to nail it.
But they're so... It's amazing. So yeah, we do the first run. I flub it up. Then we do the second one, and it's okay. But I said towards the end of the song, it gets a little stale with the whole, the kid is not my son. So I'm just kind of going to improv it, and I'll let you know when we shut it down. So we're countdown about 2 hours to showtime. I'm talking to some people in the back. Some comedians stop by. Show starts. It's opened by... who opened that show? Josh Wolf, who sang... Miley Cyrus's Wrecking Ball. And then it was the Whitney Houston, the Melissa girl. Then it was Bobby Lee, who got completely naked. Guy was completely naked on stage. Dick out and everything. Couldn't even, and I'm sorry, couldn't even see his dick. This guy's got no dick.
Well, I know you and him are really good friends, so that's why I'm laughing at that. Oh, that's funny. Yeah. We're
buddies, but he's got no dick. So, and then I go up, and by the end of it, the air conditioning had broken. Everybody was sweating. It was a very uncomfortable environment, but I have to say, from front to back, doing the song, doing the dance moves, and yes, some of the dance moves, I did look online to see kind of how he moved. I did practice. I was practicing in my hotel room at the Foxwood Casino, doing moves, looking at YouTube, trying to mimic him, and I have a whole new respect for Michael Jackson after what I was watching. I actually slowed down the dance moves to slow motion, and even in slow motion, I couldn't even pick up what this guy was doing. Unbelievable.
Yeah, well, the moonwalk is like the greatest magic trick I've ever seen in my life.
It is amazing. If you look at that, that dance move, the way he... It's not only the way he's moving his legs, but it's also the way he moves the top of his body, the torso, the neck actually juts out, juts back, juts out. It's like the body, it's almost like the front of the body or the top half of the body is moving forward as the legs are moving back. And the illusion it gives is quite, I mean, you're right. It's the best magic trick I've ever seen.
I mean, when I was a kid, I distinctly remember Michael Jackson would come on TV, and I distinctly remember as a child looking at the screen going, dance, dance. Like, I couldn't wait for him to dance. Now, is there anyone today, maybe I'm not hip with it, is there anyone today that when you just want them to dance, we love to watch you dance? I mean, I fucking love to watch that little cute black guy dance.
Yeah, man.
Damn.
Chris Brown's got the same effect for me. That guy's an unbelievable dancer. If you ever watch Chris Brown dance, regardless of his
his
personal problems, this guy's got an unbelievable way to move his body. He's very lanky, and the way he moves is it's very aggressive and a lot of energy into it. If you watch him dance, he's another good dancer. But I got to tell you, Michael Jackson, best entertainer I've ever seen. I know there's a lot of entertainers out there, but what this guy did, I'm sorry, hands down, you can't beat it. So I do this song.
Yeah.
And it was great, man. I wish you were there just to see the show. This is something I could totally see you doing stand-up and then sitting down with a live band and singing a song, a Billy Joel or what have you. The band was amazing. The crowd was fantastic. I do have the full video, which I did send to Pete and JJ. I haven't put it up online yet because I haven't kind of optimized it yet because it's quite long. It's 2 minutes and 22 seconds long. But I did put a little teaser up on our fan page, and it was phenomenal.
Yeah, I was in the green room yesterday with Judy at that thing in L.A., and she showed me a clip before Lana had sent me one. And what was that? It was a short clip, but there was one moment where you're dancing, and you bend over, and someone in the front row, and you go, "What are you doing?"
The guy was texting. I was texting during a full-blown Jackson performance.
He was probably saying, "I'm seeing fucking Michael Jackson reincarnate here, man. And it needs to be known."
It's not my son! She says, and the one who's dancing in the round, what are you talking about?
Are we rolling right into this text situation based off of that perform? Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So why don't you just fill the listeners in?
So go ahead. So you and Lana send Watt a video of you doing Michael Jackson.
Yeah.
Now, it's yesterday, and I'm on the lot out back of the reel, getting ready to do the reel on Fox or whatever. So whenever I'm inside, I don't get anything. Then I go out, and all of a sudden, my texts are flying, and it's Watt. And I'm a little thrown, because at least... you and him, like, you know, do sleepovers. I do texts right now, so I'm thinking I got a complete shutdown until the new year, until the season's over. So it says, "Hey, that's arguably that's the greatest message I've ever received." Wow, yeah. Or something like that, right? So I text to him, "Well, you got the Pope?"
No, you just said Pope?
Pope, yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there's nothing... If that's the greatest text anyone can get, let alone if you're as famous as that guy, like, wouldn't it have to be the Pope?
But we don't know that you didn't see the video yet.
Okay.
That's why we were kind of thrown by Pope. Lana chimes in and said, "Did they both come through?" Watt says, "Yeah, I got it. Incredible. What a performance." And then Lana goes, "What's Pope, Pete?" And JJ's like, "Yeah, that threw me off too." And then you said, "Watt said, best message ever I got. Thought you got a call from the Pope." And he goes, "No, way better than that. You must have not got the videos, right?"
Yes.
So back and forth to Billie Jean. Da, da, da. So then you go, "Nice, nice." And then you go into a rant.
I wasn't a fucking rant, dude.
Well, it's a paragraph. I mean, most texts are just two sentences. In text world... If there's more than three lines, you might as well be writing a book.
All right, fair enough. But let me just quick set up before you say it. I just want to say that from what I understand, because I didn't see anything last week, but I was told that there was a play where Watt had his fucking helmet knocked off and he still went and sacked the quarterback.
Yeah.
Okay, now first of all, my helmet gets knocked off. I, as you would say, I take a knee until the next until the next fucking play. I'm done. I got no equipment, man. What are we talking about? Right?
Yeah.
What am I, a kamikaze? That's absurd. So anyway, now we're having this little text thing, and I'm thinking, all right, this guy's kind enough to say how funny the cast is and stuff like that.
Yeah.
We never compliment him. From what I understand, he sacked the quarterback with no helmet.
Yeah.
I feel like I should say something and just, you know, wrap this shit up in a nutshell. So that's why I gave that little testament.
All right. But I gotta read this shit. Because it comes out of the song, the Billie Jean, and then this thing pops up. Now, mind you, I'm not even looking at this shit until later. I don't even come in because I don't know if the phone was in the car or I was in a meeting, whatever. So I come out, and I this is Pete's message on the thread. It says, "I've never had an acquaintance who is a pro athlete, so I don't know the etiquette here. But you're a goddamn beast, man. We're all rooting hard for you, that's all. Sebastian, I need content for the Pete. Throw me a bone, bro. Serious though. Look forward to seeing it later. So,
yeah, easy peasy, baby. Easy peasy. You're a fucking animal. I heard you sacked the quarterback with no helmet. Other than the Jets, I'm rooting for you. And I need the fucking Michael Jackson for the Pete.
So I come in and I and Watt was gracious. He's like, you know, appreciate that. Feels good to be back in live action. There's no etiquette here. I'd prefer to consider us like drinking buddies, not acquaintances.
This is where I go. I take a hard right to Bouncyville.
And there you go. That's the best message I ever got. Forget the pulp. Oh, shit!
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God.
Oh, how embarrassing. I need to sip my beer right now as I say that. That's the best message I ever got. I once got a message saying that I had a daughter. And that was only second best to Watt saying he considers us more than acquaintances. What the fuck is wrong with me? Fucking, what am I, 25?
Oh, yeah. This is a man in his 40s. Actually, a father. A father. Saying this.
Oh, my God.
That's the best message he's ever got. So I chime in with, wow, what the hell's going on? I said, Pete, are you on your period or just missing your family? Did you need to express your love for Watt? And then you take a turn, man. And this is where I think the sensitivity issue comes in here, because I don't know where you're going with this. You're like, no, man, just wanted to wish him good luck. Geez, one song and you're coming off alley like Sinatra yelling at Joey Bishop. Now.
Right. But I forgot, dude. I forgot I left that second fucking gay part. At the time when I left you that message, I was getting ready to go back in to do the show, and I thought I had only sent, hey, Watt, good luck, and blah, blah, blah. I forgot that I sent the other part saying that was the best message I ever got in my life.
Wow, gee, golly!
So I was like, oh my God, this guy does one Michael Jackson performance. He's walking around like Jimmy Page backstage at the fucking Forum. What an attitude.
So, yeah, that was our little friendly text. It was a great, great experience. I wish you were in L.A. to do this show, because I would love to see you do it. It's a great, great time. If anybody has a chance to go see the show here in L.A., it's once a month. It's at the Lyric Theater. It's on 520 North La Brea. It's the goddamn comedy jam. And, God, is it fun. I can't wait to do it again. So, that's that.
Michael Jackson, who can sing and is a good-looking guy, but ain't the most masculine fellow in the world. See, but that's Michael's hooks, his sensitivity. Micah get real sensitive and cry on your ass. If you hear that record, She's Out of My Life, Michael go,
so I've learned that love's not possession. And I've learned love won't win. Love needs expression, but I learned to wait. Tito, get me some tissue.
On the next edition of The Pete, I play an edited version of Mike Maglone doing George Carlin.
I didn't get my edition of The Pete this week.
It comes out every 2 weeks. I did this show, The Real.
And, yeah, so what's up with that? How was that?
You know, I'm surprised there's never been a male version of The View after all these years.
They did have a male version that Mario Lopez starred in. He's everywhere, this guy.
I'm in the hotel today. I got the pay-per-view thing on where they constantly show the movie trail is coming up, and he's on the red carpet and he's interviewing Cate Blanchett and some girl because they redid Snow White, and he's holding his daughter in his arms, and he's having Mario's having his daughter ask the questions.
How does it feel to be a princess?
Listen, you know what? I really don't like when these celebrities, athletes, bring the kid up on the podium or bring the kid to work. What is that?
No, bro, you heard me last show. Within 10 seconds, I'm yelling at Jackie, get the kid out of the fucking studio. I'm trying to do a podcast.
By the way, speaking of Sadie, I told you we need a photo of Sadie to post up on the on our Facebook page. By the way, our Facebook page, I don't know if anybody follows it that listens, but we got, you know, 2,300 followers there. It is on fire.
Really?
We've been posting more than we've ever had, and we are actually taking requests from listeners via the mailbox as well as the posts. And I gotta tell you, man, after people heard Sadie's voice to open up the show, I was getting messages saying their day turned around.
People need to understand, Sebastian's such a good guy. He's the kind of guy that one person could leave that message and he'd go, the phone's off the hook. But yeah, I got the right photo. I told it to Jackie. I'm sending it to you right after the show. We'll do a post.
We got clearance.
Okay, listen, I have no problem exploiting the kid.
So that's that. How was your time in LA? Do we got any anything to report?
We do with the flying, bro. Can we get the flying news music? It never ends, bro. It never ends.
This is the flying news. I want to fly.
I literally tried to fly this time, and I made a mental note to not get overworked. I'm not fishing for stuff for the Pete and Sebastian show. I'm just trying to fly like a civilian, and this shit just finds me. It finds me. You know when you go up to the TSA podium? This is the short one. This isn't even the big story. And you have to show your license and your boarding pass at that last minute, at that last podium before you go through and put your stuff on the conveyor belt?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so that guy at that podium, I was like 10 deep, and I noticed what he was doing was he was personalizing it. So, like, let's say you're in front of him, he'd be looking at your ID, and then he'd look over at the conveyor belt and go, let's move it along on the conveyor belt, all right? Let's move it along because Sebastian needs to get back to L.A.
Oh, God. Oh. Wow. Oh, isn't that a security risk?
What is that?
Right? What the hell's that?
And as I'm inching closer, I'm like, don't. Because he was passing on some people he wasn't. And then the woman right before me, I don't know if you've ever seen this move. He goes, keep it moving. We're moving it along good. Carol's happy. Carol's happy about the way this is moving because Carol's going to Phoenix. For what, Carol? For fun? And she's like, for fun. Carol's going to fun for Phoenix, so let's move it along. In fact, Carol, he goes, in fact, Carol, then he bends under his podium, pulls out a laminate the size of like a loose leaf paper, completely covered in laminate, like if you were in kindergarten, you were going to show like a little flashcard. Yeah. And it says, pre-check. And he takes it, and he's like, put this in your tray, Carol. This is for you. And she's like, what's this mean? And he goes, it means you get to keep everything on and everything in your bag and slide right through. It's like he bought her a free drink at the fucking bar. I'm right after her, and I got to strip down. Carol gets a free pass because you like her look?
Wow.
What the?
Wow. I don't know. I've never even heard of this. First of all, it crosses a lot of personal barriers here. Number one, you're saying the person's name, which maybe they don't want their name being called out. Then you're telling the people, everybody in line, where that person's from?
Or where they're going?
Yeah. Who wants that out there?
That's the problem with the world we're living in. Carol was so ecstatic.
Oh my God! I am ecstatic to be a part of this.
Because she got pointed out?
Yes! Yes, I am going to... Bro, I told you this. I brought this up on the cast before. I used to work at a Dangerfields comedy club from time to time. It was right by my house. and the MC would do a thing where he would go, "Who wants a Scooby snack? You want a Scooby snack? You want a Scooby snack?" And he would imitate Scooby. And then he look, and then people would fucking raise their hand, and he'd pull out his hand, and he'd fake flip a snack, and he'd go, "Eat it, eat it." And they'd go, "Ooh." And he goes, "Catch it." And they go, "Ooh." And he goes, "Swallow." And they go, "Mmm." And he goes, "Scooby." And they go, "Scooby."
Oh,
and
my God.
And he's like, "You ready for more show?" And I would sit off to the side, and I'm like, "I fucking can't even go on. These people all want a Scooby snack. They don't deserve me right now. What is this? Bridge and fucking tunnel crowd."
Oh, Jesus.
So, yeah, Carol was left, and then he gets up to me, and he's like, "We got Pete. Here comes Pete. Here comes L.A. Pete." He's calling me L.A. Pete because I was going to L.A. And
are you even responding to this?
Not even looking up at him, not even responding, just sliding through. He's like, "All right, have a safe trip, Pete." And just going through. And I just... So here's the one. I get on my flight. I'm flying Delta. I'm back to my preferred airline, Delta. And they have the touch screens on the back of your seat, right?
Yeah.
First of all, you ever hear a conversation where people fucking don't know they're wrong, but you don't say anything? Like, because I sit down, and right behind me is a girl about my age, a woman about my age, a little younger maybe, and then a guy maybe in his late 50s. They don't know each other, and he sits down. And she goes, it was a late night flight, and we're going to L.A., and she's like, Monday Night Football, I just couldn't wait to get on this plane to sit down because I know Delta has the TVs and I couldn't wait to watch Monday Night Football. I can't... First of all, dude, I'm not into chicks that like football. I don't know your take on that. I don't need you to sit by me and root for the fucking Jets with me. Yeah, I mean, that's not my thing. I know. But anyway,
Some guys think that's so cool that... they could bring their girl to the game, right? Some guys actually say that. "Oh, man, I met this great girl. She comes with me to the games." What the hell are you out there for?
She's so cool. She's like one of the guys. She's like one of the... Yeah, that's what I want when I'm hanging out with the guys. Oh, man. Besides, if my chick is hanging out with the guys... when I go home, who do I have to tell what a bunch of asshole my guy friends would be? You know? As soon as I come home, Jackie's like, "How was it?" I go, "How was it? I mean, Jesus Christ. You remember Craig?" So anyway, man, right? So she goes, "I can't wait to watch the game. It's all I've been waiting for." And in my head, I'm like, we don't get live TV. So, you know, and she's being so friendly with this guy that I could tell this guy, dude, we know people so well as comedians. Like, we could walk on a stage if we've been doing it long enough, like guys like you and I, and I can look at the crowd and tell you within a couple of country borderlines where everybody's from. I could look at a guy in the back row and go, "That guy's from Bosnia." So I'm sizing them up, and I can tell this guy's getting excited, thinking he's going to watch the game with her back to L.A., like a little date. "You have a little date? Hey, on a little date?"
But again, nobody else is thinking this in their head. The only guy that's actually piped into the conversation, probably on the airplane, is you. And not only you piped in, you actually have created this whole thing in your head about these two.
So I'm listening to this whole thing, right? Now we level off, and then she comes to the realization, and then she's like, "Oh, God, I really thought I was going to watch a game." And then he goes, "Hold on." And he starts hitting the fucking screen. And every time he hits the screen, I feel it in my back. Right? He's like, boom, boom. Right? Yep. He's tapping hard. And she's like, "Oh, I don't know what you're going to do." And he's like, "Well, we have a couple of options." And he goes, "All hope is not lost yet." And you have to understand, by this point, she already got a wine and he got a beer. He's poking my back, bro. He's poking my back with every time he taps the screen.
So, yeah, I've often wondered on that with the heavy punch on the screen. I mean, when I go up to it, it's almost like my fingers are just tap dancing on the screen. Like, I actually make it a point to not even bother. Like my whole thing would be if the person got up to go to the bathroom and I was hitting the screen and they looked at it, and my whole thing would be, if they said to me, "Wow, you've been touching the screen this whole time?" I go, "Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it?"
That's, bro, that is exactly what I'm talking about. So then I put my screen back on and I go, like you, I go, "Let me see if I can change the channel and shit without poking the person in front of me." And exactly what you're saying, like the small of a woman's back, the screen responds more to a soft touch than it does a hard poke. I mean, you know what I'm saying? If you want to make love to your woman, do you fucking stab her in the spine? Yeah. With your, I mean, if you want something to work, just give it a light touch and go,
light
listen.
Light touch.
So I can't take it anymore. So I turn around to the guy, and you know, when you got to do the turn around to the seat behind you, that's huge. The whole plane looks over. Everyone's like, "Oh God, he's turning around to the guy behind them." And I turn around and I look at him and I go, real nicely, I go, "Excuse me, can you not poke the screen so hard? Every time you poke it, it's hitting me in the back." He does this Neanderthal move. He pulls off the headphones at the end of what I said and makes me say it again. He's like, "What? Huh?
Oh, no."
Yeah, and bro, what the... pardon my French. What the fuck happened to... "Excuse me? I'm sorry? What was that? Excuse me?" Yeah. No, it's... Fucking animal. I can't. So now that irritates me. And I go and I say it a little less nice, but still nice. I go, "If you cannot poke so hard into the screen, I feel it every time you're touching your screen. I feel it in my back." And he looks at me and he goes, and he puts his hands out and he goes, "It's a touch screen." Like that, he goes, "You don't want that turn me off." So he goes, "It's a touch screen." And yeah. I look at him and I go, "Yeah, which means touch." And then I turn to my screen, and as soon as I say what I'm about to say, I start pounding my screen with one finger. I go, "Yeah, which means touch, not pound like an ape." And then I turn back around.
Oh.
When I said that, I pound mine like five times in a row. I'm like, "Duh, duh, 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 not pound like an ape." And then I turn.
Oh, you got a mental problem.
4.5 more hours to go. I never felt a thing on my back.
It.
Do you
That's
understand?
Right.
Every time we think we have nothing left to discuss on the plane in this show with the family, as you would put it, I bring up the touchscreen and right away you're making the point. You're like, not enough people know, just a soft touch, man.
Soft touch, man. That's all you need. For those of you that are out there when you're flying, keep this stuff in the back of your head. Whatever move you make affects someone else, okay? So if that's the way you live your life, you won't have a problem.
Every move you make, every step you take, I'll be watching you. I'll be watching you. Every breath you take, every move you make, every bond you
make. All right, let's talk about this fantastic DraftKings, bro. People are giving us the thumbs up for plugging this.
Oh, yeah. It's one of those things where you start seeing an ad, and then you leave the house, and you start seeing it in other forms of media. I saw this DraftKings all over the NFL this Sunday. Oh, my God. The campaign on this thing is huge.
Oh, yeah. It's everywhere. Every time I put on a regular TV commercial, it's two young guys half hugging each other, looking at something that I can't see. And then at the end, it says one of these guys just won $1 million. Right?
Yeah.
And this is the kind of thing, too. You know, we were joking about women, and we don't, you know, necessarily need them to be into football. But
yeah.
With this DraftKings, this is the kind of thing where just for 1 week, you and your lady for a laugh, you can go on, sign up, pick teams, and see who does better at the end of the week. And you'd be amazed at how a man goes on, analyzes everything, picks his team with absolute detail. And then the woman can go on and just pick a guy because she likes his name or he went to a college where she had a friend that went to. And she'll win. And then you can laugh on Monday over dinner.
DraftKings is bringing relationships together.
It's making marriages. It's a, let's go it's right making, into the intro.
Your season-long fantasy football team may be going strong, but you don't have to wait until week 16 to get paid. Put your fantasy skills to the test every week this season at DraftKings.com, America's favorite one-week fantasy football site.
One-week fantasy means no season-long commitments. You don't have to commit 1 week at a time. Got an injured player? No problem. It's like a new season every week, so you're never stuck with the same player. That's the thing, bro. I mean, I'm a huge Jet fan. You're a huge Chicago fan. You're in the middle of your season. Your star player gets hurt. Your whole thing is shut down. You're like, we got to wait till next year. Not with DraftKings.com. You just got to wait till next Sunday. And get this, DraftKings is crowning a new millionaire every week this season.
Yeah. Why bother getting a job? Oh, you could turn your love of football into a life-changing payday. Just pick your players, pile up the points, and pick up the cash. That's it. Believe me, you never experienced football like this before.
Hurry to DraftKings.com now and use promo code LINEMEN, all in caps, L-I-N-E-M-E-N-E, to play for free for a shot at $1 million in this week's Millionaire Maker event. Enter LINEMEN for entry now. Take it to the end, bro.
There you have it. DraftKings.com, DraftKings.com. One more time, that's DraftKings.com. You're going to see it all over the TV on Sunday. Get involved. This is something that you definitely want to be a part of. So there you have it, people. We are interweaving sponsors into the cast, and it doesn't even feel like a commercial.
James Carmine Auditore. Bro, I gotta say this guy's name. He's the one who gave me the Jimmy Walker album. The guy sends me a message saying, hey, did you mention my name? I didn't hear you mention my name. I was like, oh, yeah, no. I guess I got to do the exact name. James Carmine Auditore, he gave me two of them. It really is. I mean, I'm busting balls, but he pressured me. I felt the pressure, thank you. I could felt the mob coming through the message. It felt mob-esque.
Oh, mob-esque. Like, listen, you mentioned my name, or we're going to come back and take the albums back.
yes. I felt bullied by the message. So there you go.
Well, there you have it. What's his name again? James.
Hey, listen, don't play games with this. James Carmine Auditore.
Oh yeah, listen, James. I didn't even get an album. Thank you.
That's it. That's all it is. They're like the police department for wise guys.
As long as we're plugging stuff, let's go ahead and I'm just going to plug some dates here. Vancouver this Friday, Portland this Saturday. I'm going to be up in Bow, Washington at the Skagit Valley Casino the 25th and 26th. And then I'll be doing a little oddball comedy run out in West Palm Beach, Atlanta, then coming back here on the West Coast. So definitely pick up some tickets, SebastianLive.com. That's SebastianLive.com. What do you got?
This week I'm in Des Moines, Iowa. The big one I want for me, Providence.
Oh, Rhode Island, yeah, the Comedy Connection.
Yes, I really like that place a lot. And I'll be there the first weekend of October, Friday and Saturday. Of course, still got the Showtime special coming out in November, waiting for an exact date, haven't gotten it, but they recently asked for photos for the promo.
Perfect.
And then go to pcorielli.com, and I will be out in Edmonton in November, and of course, Long Island in November.
Got to give a shout out to Steve Kistner, who was a fan of the cast, came out to the show at the Foxwoods Casino. Wrote a really nice review on us on our Facebook page, so take a look at that. Thanks for coming out, Steve. I had a blast, by the way, at the Foxwoods Casino. Just real good. Joe Matarese, I work with him. You know him?
Yes, I adore Joe. Great guy.
Great guy. Went out to dinner with Joe. And
Great guy.
Yeah, hung out with him and good solid egg. So,
and Steve, by the way, I know Steve, the one you're talking about. Steve, yeah. Kistner, I want to point out, I did a show where he saw me, and afterwards he came up and he goes, is that the final set you're going to do for Showtime? And I go, pretty much. And he goes, you should put the toenail thing back in. And I did because of him.
Good for you, Steve. This guy's like a ghostwriter.
No, he's a real fan of us, man. He's a good man.
Yeah, he's a good guy. So, and also, also want to say a shout out to Steve Mitrano, who came out with his lovely wife, who is about to have a baby. I finally met him. Steve's the guy that does my memes. For those of you that's been seeing my memes up on Facebook and Instagram, he's the one that puts those together. So, nice guy. Came out with him, his sister, and I forget the other guy's name, but good to see them at the show.
Nice to see
Nice
you.
To see you.
That's perfect.
Nice to see you.
I think maybe once a week, one of us should have a new one that we vote on, and we bring it in, and everyone gives a vote and decides. But is there a movie star Hall of Fame?
I don't think there is. I'll Google that just to make sure that we're not stepping on anybody's toes. Movie star Hall of Fame. There's an actors Hall of Fame. Yes, there is.
Right, we're not looking for actors. We're looking for movie stars.
Movie stars. Okay, I don't see it, so we're claiming it. So there's a Hollywood Walk of Fame. So ours would be like any big movie star, or not big movie star, just any star. How do we gauge this?
Well, all right, I'd say first of all, right out of the gate, I think we're all in agreement. We're not doing no one from the black and white era, right? We're doing modern, 70s and up. Just 1970. Body of work from 1970 and up.
Oh, this is cinema in general, man. All right, so
like somebody's gonna like vote in fucking Humphrey Bogart.
Yeah. Chaplin.
Yeah. The only thing I've ever seen Chaplin do was Robert Downey doing Chaplin. I mean, can you name two Humphrey Bogart movies? You're already Googled. You're Googling.
Gone with the Wind.
No, he
was. No. Didn't do that one.
He is looking at you, kid. I know. I saw that one with Jackie.
Who's in that?
Gone with the Wind is Clark Gable, man.
Clark Gable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, did you see that?
No.
No way. Neither did I, man. Yeah, I should see that, man. Right? We should see that.
Yeah, we should definitely take a look at that.
And Casablanca, I saw that once. That wasn't bad. That wasn't bad, man.
Who's in that?
Humphrey Bogart's in that.
Okay.
Did you see like what are somebody like Breakfast at Tiffany's with?
Saw that.
You
did.
I didn't see that. How was that? With Audrey Hepburn?
That's good. That's a recommendation. Definitely see that.
I did Some Like It Hot with Jack Lemmon. I saw that one with Marilyn Monroe. That was good.
I haven't seen that.
Did you see what was that other big?
You see Rear Window. Jimmy Stewart?
No, I didn't. I mean, I put on TMC, just plowing through, and I'd see the old timer in a wheelchair, and I'm like, I'm out on this.
No, it's good. You got to see that. It's
yeah,
good.
I mean, I love you know, Mara. Mara was at a fucking a Christmas one.
How about Citizen Kane? Or the one you're talking about is Chris Beautiful Life. It's a Beautiful Life, right?
No, that's Russell Crowe. I'm talking about...
No.
The Christmas one, man.
Come on. It's a Wonderful Life.
Yes. Which I never loved.
I like that.
He was very bitter.
I know very well what you're talking about. You're talking about something you can't get your fingers on. That's what you're talking about, I know. Well, I've said too much.
And, like, why don't we just have an initial ceremony next week? We'll do an initial ceremony to kick off the entire Movie Star Hall of Fame, and we'll just initially put in Stallone, Pacino, and De Niro just to get that fucking out of the way. And Travolta.
They're grandfathered in.
And then, so we're going to have an initial ceremony next week for Travolta, Pacino, Stallone, and De Niro. And then we're going to put it in the listeners' hands week to week. And we're going to vote. How's that sound?
It sounds great. I'm in.
That's it. That's it. Welcome to the Pete and Sebastian Movie Stall Hall of Fame.
What we need you guys to do, we're going to build on this momentum. We have broke the top 200. We've actually broken the top 100. We're resting right now on iTunes at 81. What we need you guys to do is go to the iTunes and write your reviews, good or bad. We just need a little bit more heat on iTunes because now we are building some momentum. The train is now moving and we want to keep that moving. That being said, I'm going to be a guest on The Fighter and the Kid, which is Brian Callen and Brandon Schwab. Who Brian is a very, very funny comedian as well as an actor, and Brendan Schwab is an ex-UFC fighter. Actually, he still might be fighting, and he's an ex-NFL football player. So they have a very popular podcast. It's a sports podcast, ranked number 11. I'm going to go on there next week on Wednesday. And we're just kind of going around doing the whole podcast thing, trying to raise awareness about our podcast. But we need your help in going to the comments section of wherever you listen to and just give us some feedback, good or bad, just to create some heat. That's all we ask from you. It's very small.
Heat it up. Heat it up. Heat it up, people. Heat it up.
We got a burn going right now. There's a burn going. So that's it. That's it from where I'm at. We'll get more into what's going on with the house next week. We have... I'm just going to leave you with this. We have put in an offer for an apartment.
Where? Manhattan?
No. Not to buy. To rent instead of living at a hotel.
Oh, this is insanity.
We are going to rent an apartment for 6 months.
Holy mackerel. Wow.
It's what we need.
Dude, when I walk into your house, to go back to the beginning of this show, I expect that fog.
Ambient haze.
Ambient haze.
Baby!
When I ring the doorbell, ambient haze should literally engulf me. Always a pleasure, bro.
Always a pleasure. Take care, and we see you guys next week.
Good hanging.
Take care.
And by the way, DraftKings is legit. Even though you two murdered that promo, and we probably could have got more knowledge if we asked the zebra to explain astrophysics, DraftKings is a goddamn legitimate company. And I don't say that just because they're Boston-based or because I've been using them for over a year. And on several occasions, they've deposited money into the old bank account. I say that because it's some serious shit. And trust me, a lot more people, especially these listeners, are into friggin' fantasy football way more than sucking on those candy-flavored electric dicks you two were peddling before. I mean, this is an upgrade, no doubt. Welcome to DraftKings. Later.
The show has ended.
If you want something to work, just give it a light touch and go
light
listen.
Touch.